Good morning, 7:42 here on the Mighty 690, and we are joined now by Wendy Powell, K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. Good morning, Wendy. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Hey, doing well. So I was, of course, on vacation here this last week, but definitely driving about 2,000 miles in rough numbers. So I got to see a lot of pastures and feedlots and agriculture, and I was thinking about you because I saw a lot of hay storage. And I saw a lot of pretty good things, a lot of really bad things. So I was thinking about you for sure. I was like, wow, Wendy would just be shaking her head at that.
I would.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So anyway, I'm not kidding. I mean, I saw like square bale pyramids. I saw everything. I mean, it was wild. It was every sort of hay storage way that we have talked about. I saw it. So it was fun.
Yep, they're all out there.
Yeah, but anyway, that's not what we're talking about today, but I wanted to pass that along. So, Wendy, first of all, a couple events you want to talk about.
Yes, so we've got the Beefstalker Field Day in Manhattan coming up on September 28th. So they're going to cover lots of different stalker industry-related topics. It'll be really good. And that's so far the only one that I have on my calendar right now. But I do know we have a pond meeting coming up sometime really soon. So be on the lookout for that from Adavin.
Okay, excellent. Very good on that. So wanted to talk a little bit in this segment here about identifying individual animals in a herd.
Yes. So it's really important to be able to know which animal is which. Whenever you have a herd of all black females, all black cows out there, and they can all look the same, it's really important for them to have some sort of individual ID, ear tag, specific freeze brands, something like that. So identifying the system that works for your livestock operation is really what we're going to dig into, because there are so many different ways of individual animal ID out there. So just to get started, a lot of folks will use hot brand, and that tends to be a ranch identification, so not an individual animal identification. You know, it's just, you know, the simple letter or bar or however configuration that usually has something to do with the ranch's last name. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's, you know, like people around here are familiar with the Crossbell, you know, the Mullendore brand. So that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with a specific name.
No, those are registered, right?
So in Kansas, you can register your brand so that you don't have the same brand as anyone else in the state. Yes. And you're not supposed to use a brand that is not registered.
Okay.
So that's something that the Kansas Livestock Association handles. In Oklahoma, it's the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association that handles the brand registries, things like that. So those are the organizations you'd need to reach out to if you are interested in getting a brand registered. So when an animal has that hot brand, sometimes it's on the shoulder, sometimes it's on the hip. Occasionally, you'll see it across the ribs, but not very often. Most of the time, the safest place to put it is on the shoulder. That's where there's going to be the least amount of damage to the hide. And these days, hides aren't worth quite as much as they used to be, but it's still safer to put it on that shoulder in case there is, you know, sometimes longhorns have really pretty hides. They make nice rugs.
Yep.
So that's kind of ownership identification. So even if an animal is, you know, cattle rustled and taken off to a livestock market somewhere, you can still identify those brands from the inside of the hide. So that's not really what we're talking about today, but that's one type of identification. So individual animal identification, that's going to be, you can get really down and dirty with like ear tattoos, nose printing. That's a kind of an old style type of identification. All cows have individual singular nose prints. So if you've ever like footprinted a human baby.
Yeah.
Think of this.
Oh my.
It's even worse because they're full of snot too. So getting that nose print is not always easy, but a lot of times breed registries would like a nose print. And sometimes with show stock, they'll do nose printing. So that's not really something that you can see in a pasture, identify your individual animal with a nose print, but that is one way. freeze branding is another one. So this is using liquid nitrogen, and essentially you're discoloring the pigment of the hair. So like on a black animal, it's going to turn that hair white. And so they have very specific lettering with these freeze brands, and you get the iron hot or cold, however you determine liquid nitrogen is, and it freezes the hair follicles so that the hair grows white.
And that's permanent?
And so it lasts several years.
Okay.
It will eventually fade, but it is almost permanent.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's something you can write a series of numbers with, three or four numbers, and the animal is identified with that. Ear tags are the most common around here because they're easy to apply, they're inexpensive, they don't require a whole lot of extra equipment, branding irons and whatnot. You just need you need the tags, and you need a tagger, and you need a way to restrain the animal. So that's usually our most common method of individual identification with our most livestock, sheep, goats. Now, whenever we talk about other industries like dairy, they'll sometimes do neck chains. That's just a chain that goes over the head and it dangles around the neck, kind of like a necklace. And that'll have a number. But that's very specific to the industry.
Now, I wanted to ask you on ear tags. Why do we sometimes see two?
So whenever you're in a pasture and you're feeding, it's not always easy to read the tag. And so if the tag is the same on both sides of the animal's head, it just gives you another opportunity to read that tag number.
Gotcha.
In some farms, they'll do different information on the tags. So maybe an animal's individual number on the right side and some of their genealogy on the left side. So like the sire number and the dam number. It just depends. But oftentimes it's going to be the exact same tag on both sides. So it's just a second opportunity to be able to read it.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's so many different types of tags. There's, I don't know, 30 different brands of tags. They usually all require their own type of applicator. So whenever you do get started tagging your animals, find a system that works for you. And specifically, find a tag that's not going to be ripped out of the animal's ear easily. As we work through all of our drought problems with our pastures, we see a lot of brush, blackberry, hedge trees. All of those things will pull tags out of the ears, not to speak of whenever the animal puts their head through a hay rack to get to the hay that is properly stored, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, sure.
So you have to make for sure you're finding a tag that works well in your pasture and with your animals. And that's all species, not just cattle. So lots of different ways that we can individually identify animals temporarily and permanently. In some situations, like at a stockyard, a sale barn, they'll use paint. You might also see these like at judging contests or ranch sales. So they use similar to the freeze brand numbers, but instead of getting them hot or cold with liquid nitrogen, they're going to put paint on them. And so it'll literally be just a painted number on the side of the animal. And that is, of course, very temporary, but it's good for just a couple of days whenever you're trying to sort through individual animals for, you know, keeping or culling or, you know, looking at an animal in person and then referring to information in a sale book, something like that. So that's another one. Very temporary. I've already mentioned neck chains. Ear notching is one that I wanted to mention also for the swine industry. So for hogs, they don't use a lot of ear tags. They do have some ear tags, but they'll occasionally use those for very specific reasons. But more commonly, they use ear notching. And so the pig's ear is sort of triangular. So it comes out to a tip away from the head. And so there's various segments of the ear. And these aren't like hardcore lines on the pig's ear, but it's a very industry standardized way of identifying animals, is notching those different sections of the ear. So one ear, I forget which is the left or the right, which one does the pig number and which one does the litter number. But just by looking at the hog, you can identify which litter that hog came from that year and which pig, you know, down the line of a sow will have more than two usually hogs in each litter. So you can count how many hogs were in her litter.
Yeah, I just looked up, there's a whole, you know, diagrams basically, and it tells you which one, where, and all that sort of thing.
Yes, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a science in and of itself there. And so there's specific tools that will ear notch those numbers and or ear notch those sections, and so you can interpret the number. So it's an interpretive science there.
Ah, there you go.
So the whole point of individually identifying animals serves several purposes. We could talk a little bit about electronic devices to discuss traceability, which is a hot topic right now. I won't get into that a whole lot because the electronic devices, they vary quite a lot. But the use of these numbers to trace animals from the place of origin where that animal was born and raised, you know, through the industry harvesting systems and out to the grocery store. Being able to tell where that animal came from in case of disease or some sort of emergency is what the name of the game there is, traceability.
Now, so are there any like USDA requirements for keeping track of these animals if you are a producer for, you know, food and that sort of thing?
So right now there's no hard and fast firm requirements. There are a lot of initiatives that are voluntary. Some of them have more perks than others. We use electronic ID tags often, but it's not something that's required. There are some benefits on the farm for those electronic IDs. Also, I visited a dairy a few months ago, and whenever the dairy cow walked into the milking parlor, the computer read her ID, her electronic ID, and gave her a certain amount of feed, whatever her feed requirements were. The computer knew how much that is, and this robot kind of came around and cleaned her udder and wow, got the milking done, and the computer recorded how much milk she had at the time. And so the dairy farmer was then able to know, yes, that cow has come in, she's had her feed, her milk production is normal. And so the flip side of that would be using that identification device to tell if an animal has not come in or is off of their usual milking routine, things like that. So there's a lot of uses in dairy and swine operations for those electronic devices. The beef industry is getting there. We have systems in place at sale barns that can read tag numbers as the animal comes into the sale ring and display information. There's similar to the dairy industry with feedlots, the animal comes up to the feed bunk and that tag is read, things like that. So there's uses for those that are not specific to traceability, but that setup is really expensive because it's computerized.
Oh, sure,
so
sure.
It takes time and money.
Yeah, a lot more expensive than paper, but hey, when you're trying to, you know, get some more time in your day and mm-hmm. automate a few things, that could definitely pay off and you value your time. So.
Yes, absolutely.
And they mentioned a little bit of record keeping, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, right?
Yes.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. And we've got lots more to come here with Wendy Powell from K-State Research and Extension. And we do have a check of the news on the way here on the Mighty 690. We are looking at a high today right around 79 for Coffeyville and Independence, dropping down to 58 tonight. And right now, at the KGGF studios, it's 54 degrees right now in Coffeyville. back here on the Mighty 690 at 8:11, and we have joining us once again livestock production agent Wendy Powell from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. Good morning once again, Wendy.
Hello.
So we were talking last segment a little bit about IDing different animals, and there's a couple more points you wanted to hit on specifically related to some different animals and a couple more different techniques.
Yeah. So some of them that I had forgotten earlier with chickens, they don't really have ears that we can tag, and not a good place to put a tattoo either, but we can use leg bands on those poultry, and you can have various systems within your operation where I've seen one guy does a certain color for each year. So birds into the flock in 2023 will all be blue or whatever. And so just generally looking at his hens, he can tell how old they are just by looking at that leg band color. Leg bands in the poultry industry also have numbers, so you can individually identify each animal with those specific numbers, and you can keep track of, you know, treatments and all the different things that go with poultry. It's really difficult to identify which egg comes from which hen whenever it comes down to a flock.
Yeah.
But if you know your birds that well, then you can certainly keep track of that
too. Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you, I've always like the idea of them having separate nest boxes, but that never really seems to pan out.
Yeah, they're very community minded and they share a lot.
Yes.
So it's really difficult to get that.
At least mine would only share there's nest boxes enough for multiple of them, but they didn't want to share it. One at a time is what wanted.
So, yes, you know. Absolutely. But you never know which one had been in there before.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But yeah, it was just like, good grief. They would fight over getting in there.
Yes.
Takes a while.
And chickens tend to pick at those leg bands. You had mentioned that earlier. So sometimes they do have to be replaced, or as the chicken grows, it might need a bigger leg band.
Yep.
So that's one way. We also earlier didn't talk a whole lot about tattoos, but tattoos are very common in the livestock industry with rabbits and sheep and goats and cows. We put the tattoo in the ear. That's pretty accessible.
Yep.
So it's simple enough to have the animal restrained, of course. Sometimes that's not the simple part. And then install a tattoo there with a tattoo gun. And those can be anywhere from a series of numbers, three or four numbers, to I've seen sometimes with rabbits, they like to put the whole name of the rabbit in there. So sometimes they can get lengthy. But it's best just to keep them as concise as possible to enhance readability.
And I've obviously seen the tattoos. I haven't actually seen one of the guns before, but I assume it's settable. You can set whatever you're going to imprint, because it's kind of like, it's like a little dot matrix sort of thing.
Yes, yes, exactly that. Yeah, so you rub the ink onto the ear, and then you push the pins of the tattoo into that ink, and then you add some more ink, and you kind of try to rub it in it as best as possible. It's very different from a human tattoo.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you're trying to hire a tattoo artist to make it all fancy.
Yeah, no, with so with most livestock it's in the ear, but with horses it goes in the upper lip. A lot of registered horses will have a tattoo in the lip. But obviously, when we're talking about individual animal identification for the purpose of record keeping, the easier it is to see those individual numbers, the better off you're going to be. So I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm checking cows and feeding, it's not really easy to read a tattoo.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's when ear tags come into play. And I talk a lot about ear tags simply because they are the most common.
Sure.
And they're the most inexpensive to set up with most of the time, depending on which brand you go with, because you only need the tag itself and the applicator.
Now, we have the microchips for dogs and cats. Is there any other animals that really use those microchips, or is it mostly for the pets on that regard?
It's fairly pet specific. I will say some more of the high value animals, like racehorses or bulls at a stud farm or something like that, they might have some microchips. So high value animals and pets would be the target audience for those.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, good information. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit, but still kind of on that topic of keeping records and that sort of thing. Wanted to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to get into an exciting new development from the folks at K-State, too.
Yeah, so the whole point of being able to individually identify an animal would be to see how that animal affects your bottom line. You know, how is that cow, is she producing every year? Is she raising a healthy calf that is making your operation money? Because as much as we would love to say that we're in the business because we love cows, and everybody that knows me knows I love my cows, but at the end of the day, we have to be making a profit on those animals. And knowing how each animal performs is the key to that data, the key to that bottom line. So writing down when a cow calves, when maybe that calf was sick and you had to treat it with something, writing that down. And some of the treatments are pretty expensive. So that's going to affect your bottom line on a per calf basis. So knowing how much each cow costs each year, and I'm not talking about like feed costs that have to be averaged over the herd. I'm talking about like an individual cow weaning a 430-pound calf versus another cow in the herd that's weaning a 650-pound calf, and the calves are the same age. So what's different about those two cows, and which one is more profitable? Or which one, how are they different? So, you know, if that cow weaning the lighter calf is really a first calf heifer and that's her first experience, we can be a little bit more forgiving. Whereas if that cow, you know, she's in her prime at 4, 5, or 6 years old and she just has a poor doing calf, maybe there's something wrong and we need to look at putting her on the cull list. So
yeah, and you have to recognize, yeah, we're running a business here. So yes. On the sad as it sounds, that's just how it goes.
Yes, that's right. Especially whenever you get more animals in each herd. So sometimes a small herd like mine, they can kind of be pets. but we have to remember at the end of the day, this is a business.
Yeah.
So.
And so we do have, you know, some small and large producers. So your needs for record keeping are going to be quite a bit different depending on your operation, I'm sure.
Yes, very different. And also it's hard to change. If you have a system and it's working, then it's really hard to change systems because it's hard to transfer all of that data to something new. But a large operation will have different needs than a small operation. But K-State has come out with a new, I'll call it an app, because it's mostly phone-based. It's called CalfDex, CalfDex, no spaces. And I'm really excited about this, as I've learned about it the last week or so. It's suitable for iPhone and Android devices, so it's very much an in-the-pasture device. You can actually put your information in like a calving record. You know, whenever you go out and you feed and you see that cow has had a calf, you can go ahead and enter that data into the app and it's automatically there. And you can export that data to an Excel spreadsheet or however you need that information presented to you for you to look at over your records. It's very versatile. I actually just downloaded it here at the radio station and went ahead and added some information from my herd. And it's very simple. And I'm looking forward to using it a little bit more. So you can add your calving information, weaning information, post-weaning. So whenever you do your vaccinations for post-weaning, you can add that information. There's a section for processing, like whenever you preg check cows and all of that, those notes, things like that. There's a section for that. There's also a treatment tab where you can add in, you know, if the animal was sick with pneumonia or whatever, you can add in what you gave that animal for that sickness and their recovery process or whatever you need to do. It's very simple. So I'm looking forward to using that more, and we'll be able to actually pull the data from like all of the 2023 weaned calves, and we can see how they do compared to each other. But then the other feature of that would be to resort those data points so you can see a cow over a period of years and see how she has performed over time and compare her to herself over time. That's when you're going to see the profitability factor of an individual animal. And if you don't have a name for that cow or a number assigned to her, it's really difficult to get that nitty-gritty.
Sure. And I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, but this will work when cell service is not available.
That is one of the points that the advertisement makes. Yeah. And it is free. So I know a lot of pastures don't have cell service. So if you can still import your data whenever you don't have service, that's a major factor. So yeah, it's supposed to be a really excellent tool, and I'm looking forward to digging into it a little bit more.
Now, you go ahead.
I was going to change.
You said you downloaded the app, and you were messing around with that already, right? And is it on the App Store?
Yes, it's on the Google App Store. It's on the iPhone App Store. Yeah, I downloaded it just during our break and went ahead and put in some of my CAF information, and it's super easy.
That's great.
Just connected it to an email, and that's about all there is. There are so many different cattle management systems and other species too. All species have specific data storage, data management programs. And then you can always do your own, like in Excel or Google Sheets, things like that. A lot of times, the problem with doing those Google Sheets or Excel documents or paper copies of record keeping is we don't always go back to those and see the whole picture, because there's so much more tweaking to do to pull out the data that we would need to see. So, for example, if you're writing down your calving dates on one piece of paper and you've got your weaning dates on another piece of paper, you might have excellent intentions of putting those into Excel and sorting all of that and then comparing cows to each other in 1 year or the cow to herself over the number of years. What's the saying about the road to wherever is paved with good intentions?
Yep.
So it's just harder whenever you don't have that full system to just click a button and say, this is what I want to know.
Sure. Well, I mean, it sounds like this program is going to be great, especially for people who don't have a system set up right now, or maybe they're looking to modify, you know, the way they do things. Obviously, for those larger producers, you know, it's more likely, I would think, that they're going to have more of a software, perhaps,
yes,
like that. I'm sure there's many commercial options available out
there. Oh, yes. There's so many commercial options. Most of them do cost, but some of them are so incredibly robust that you can just hit print on the weaning records or your post-weaning records and take that with you to the livestock auction and present that whenever you're unloading your calves. And so potential buyers know exactly what treatments those animals have had. They've been taught to eat grain from a feed bunk, things like that. So some of those are very robust, but usually they do cost. But there are systems for every different species.
Very good. So for those folks who just tuned in, what's the name of this new app from K-State?
Yeah, it is called CalfDex, CalfDex, no spaces, CalfDex. And you can find it on all the app stores. It's a really exciting K-State branded app. It's the icon for it is this purple background with a calf head kind of drawn in there. So very discernible K-State branding right there.
And so, it's free.
And it's free. Yes, absolutely.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, anything else, Wendy, that we need to hit on?
Well, if anybody has questions about getting started with record keeping with their herd or their flock, I'm happy to work with them just to get some simple records started. And we just need to make for sure that we're doing that consistently so that we can use that to affect our bottom line.
Sure. Whether it's a pencil and paper or a computer, mm-hmm, a mix of both, it's something is better than nothing,
that's
I would
right.
feel like.
Yes. Absolutely. And following through with that, it's great and all to have it on a piece of paper, but if you never go back and look at it, then it doesn't do you a whole lot of good.
That's words of wisdom right here. So, Wendy, I appreciate you coming by and spending time with us this morning, and look forward to chatting again here real soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's Wendy Powell, a livestock production agent from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. And coming up, we do have an early bird edition of Open Land on the way, and we'll also be talking with Candy Westbrook from the Coffeyville Chamber of Commerce. 55 degrees right now, heading up to a high near 80.